just getting reorganized there. Thank y'all. So that's a powerful song. I mean, first time I heard that song on the radio, just the words, the truth to that. And that's all that God's asking, that we bring our brokenness to Him and we bring our fears to Him and in this crazy world we live in. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Psalm 31. We begin in verse 9. If you can, stand with me to honor His word. Psalm 31, verse 9. God's word, David says here in verse 9, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life." Now, how real and applicable is that verse to what we see today in our world? "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. And thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for a word that is all powerful and so clear and that speaks to our present personal lives, the lives of the folks and the things in our country and all around us, Lord. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look with me in verse 22. Then we're going to go back over to verse 9 for a moment and going to connect some things between really Psalm 31 here and 33 and 34 if we can. I know we won't have time to do all that. But look at verse 22. As David confesses, he said, "In my haste." So what he's saying is, I got in a hurry. I hadn't taken the time I needed to. I was in a rush. Sound familiar? He said, For I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. So David said, in my haste, before I really had time to think about it and remember, I went ahead and said it, that I felt like I was cut off from God seeing me. And seeing what? Look back in verse 9. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." I am in trouble. And trouble is something that is ever present. Amen? And we saw Paul this morning in Romans 8 as he was confessing, as he was presenting questions and he was answering them about trouble that we have in our lives. And there is so much trouble. And then so I get in the car and Davey has pulled up the news feed or some way had found about the officers being killed. And so more trouble, More trouble, more distress, more persecution, more of everything we looked at this morning. I'll not soon forget, we had that delicious, I don't know if you'll realize, you know, a lot of preachers do love chicken, and I do. Chicken's a good after-church Sunday thing, but Taco Bell's a close second because it's a lot cheaper than chicken, amen? It worries me how cheap it is, though, sometimes. You ever worry about that, you know? So we went to Taco Bell. I'm sitting there, and Brooke, I don't know if you heard Hilton and Maddie were talking about, you know, what's going to happen? And Hilton quickly said, now you know, I know Jesus, and I know I'm going to heaven, and I got all that, but so I want to be an uncle. I want to be an uncle. I want to get married. I want to have children. I'll do, but well, this whole world is going, what's going to happen? That's real, y'all. That's valid. You may have thought the same thing. You know, what is happening? And I assure you, as I assured them, what's happening is exactly what God lays out in His Word for us that's going to happen. And when we find ourselves, in, as David did, in trouble, in hearing of trouble, and thinking about trouble and figuring out these answers to our question in troubles, we continually just have to focus on His Word. Because look in verse 9. Because we find a very powerful statement. Because we saw in verse 22 how in his haste David has said, you know, I just don't think God's eyes are on me that he's seeing. And then he finds that he realizes God's hearing him. We know that God's eyes were always on him and they're always on us. But what is happening in verse 9 is we find there's a problem with David's eyes. Now look in verse 9. He says, I'm in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief. And that really jumped out. And I really had gone and been studying this somewhat a few weeks ago when we looked at Matthew 4:18. We found Jesus walking by, and we were looking at that whole message. And in verse 18 of Matthew 4:18, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brethren. As that word saw was jumping out at me as I was studying. I was just thinking about God seeing me, seeing you, seeing all that's going on, good and bad. I headed out here a while ago, and I, you know, what a beautiful afternoon. I mean, beautiful blue sky and puffy white clouds. I'm sitting here while y'all were singing, Save Your Family, and these beautiful flowers here. There's so much beauty, and there's so much love, so much wonder in our world amidst all the terrible things that are going on. And so, too often, though, that's not what we see, right? We're like David. And I began to think, and I don't even know that I've unfolded the full what God wants me to understand through this, but I just began to think, he said, my eye is consumed with grief. So I kind of made this question or statement for myself, and I make it to you tonight. What's your eye consumed with right now? What's your eye consumed with? As a father, I often tell, I'm not the preacher at our house, okay? I'm not the preacher of the family. I'll get somebody else to be the pastor if my family needs a pastor. All right, you know, but as a father, as a husband, you know, and a soon-to-be grandfather, I want to focus helping, and I'm glad my children feel comfortable talking about these things and asking those questions, but to take where our eyes get focused, as they were at lunch this morning, and get them focused back on God's Word, about what God's plan is, about still the beauty and the power and all in the midst of a troubled time we live in. So think for a moment about that though with me. Mine eye is consumed. David says in this particular case, his eye was consumed with grief. Grief of his sin, his iniquity, his troubles, his times. And that does bring grief. But what's your eye consumed with? And you say, preacher, what do you mean, what are you talking about? It's all around us. It's so evident. We have the same problem. We get in the same situation that David did here, and our eyes become consumed with things. It may be grief. It's been amazed at me. Some people, you know, they say there's stages of grief. And if you've ever lost a loved one, especially very close, and you may not even know what those stages of grief are, but I would promise you, probably sat down, Chris, and talked about the things you went through, that you would have gone through each one of them. And I can't sit here and name them for you. I didn't go back and look them up, but, you know, there's anger and there's regret. There's all these things that come. So our eyes get consumed with grief. But our eyes get consumed with so much, and that is part of Satan's work and part of that temptation and part of the power that he has us. You know, that's what he did with Jesus. In the wilderness temptation, he kept showing Jesus these things. He wanted Jesus' eyes to get consumed with anything basically. And he did a wide range of temptations there. Get your eyes on, then get your eyes consumed with anything but what God's plan is, what God's word is, and what God is doing. I've already prayed about how I say this, so I say it with more compassion tonight than I did last Sunday night. I'd rested some this afternoon. I had been in my study. I come out of my study, and I go, and what's on TV? Our president is talking about the shootings. And I listen, and I try very hard to listen, and things just jump out at me, and it was toward the end of it. And those words are, you know, God bless the families, and God bless America. I told in our Sunday school class, I saw a great sign today. I was riding down the road, Brother Ray, and it said, America needs to start blessing God. Amen. He has blessed us, and that's a statement we continually want and desire, but the mixed up problem is America is not blessing God. God is continually blessing, amen, and wants to bless us more. I mean, he says he wants to open the windows of heaven. That's not some just idle words that the preacher preaches about tithing in the church. But I mean, when I hear God wants to open the windows of heaven, I'm not thinking about you tithing. I'm not thinking about the church budget. I'm thinking that's a God. In the context, he says, of that giving, but that there's a God that wants to open heaven and pour out blessings. And he wants to do the same thing on days when tragedy happens, when Satan is about his work. When I think about our eyes getting consumed, boy, it is dangerous what our eyes can be consumed with. People have become consumed with grief as David was and never got out of it. I would almost say probably all of us may know someone that they just really have never got over a loss. And that's a real danger. Our eyes can be consumed with the news. I don't even know who said it now. I wouldn't point you out for anything, but somebody made the statement to me today as they said, I think my spouse is watching too much news. You know, you can get consumed. I have an aunt that I love dearly, but she has a lot of fears and a lot of anxieties, and I love her dearly, but she just doesn't have a close relationship with the Lord. She doesn't go to church, and she has all these things, and she gets consumed with this little creek behind her house that's going to flood, and it does flood sometimes, but it's going to flood, and she's just consumed often. Every time there's that this creek's going to rise up. I found out this week she had, one reason to know she's consumed now, she canceled her flood insurance. They don't play her flood insurance anymore. Maybe she should be consumed. But, you know, intimate has to make, so all of us know what can consume us, amen? And we know, but it's much easier to talk about what consumes other people. So often we get consumed. Today, folks get consumed with their phones and their internets and what everybody else is doing. And it kind of amazes me. I confess, I'm the first one. If somebody in my family mentions something, I want to know what is it, you know, and what's going on. But practically speaking, y'all, I just don't have time. I'm having enough trouble keeping up with what God is wanting to speak to me in his word. And listen, I'm trying to be super spiritual. I'm not walking around with my Bible all the time, looking at my Bible all the time. I'm not talking about that, but I just don't, you know, we need to be careful what we're consumed with. We get so consumed with what others are doing or not doing, what's going on. As I've often said, here's a great statement you can use. When somebody starts coming to you and wants to say, have you heard about what so-and-so, what happened, or what they're doing? If you can do it without really just lying, you know, say yes, so they'll go on. So Tim, somebody comes and say, do you hear what Tim, what he did? You know, hear about him? I'm thinking, well, yeah, I saw Tim. I've heard things about Tim. I've heard Tim speak. So I can say yes to that. And I don't need to hear what they have to tell me. Amen? And by the way, pray for Tim. Tim's a real battle at his work. And there's a lot of racial things going on and a lot of persecution going on. And literally it devolved into a fight this week. And Tim relayed in our care group this morning about getting through between two employees that are at his work. And just there's real stuff going, trouble, real trouble. And the problem is in that work setting with our world, people are consumed with the wrong thing. For any black folks that think that all the police are against them or are just killing them for no reason at all, they've got they're consumed with what they think, what Satan's planning, and some things they've seen that they don't even know the full story behind. Amen? They don't understand that. And for any police, and let's be honest, Miss Margaret, all police are not like your sons. Amen? All people in that profession, Steve, are not Christian and believers. They're not that way. So there's problems everywhere. But the problem is not with somebody's skin color. The problem is not with the authority of the police. And that's what people have got their eyes consumed. How practical is Scripture? Their eyes are consumed with the wrong thing. The problem is sin. Amen? The problem is sin. And in everything, it seems to me, that is designed in our media and in our lives is to get our eyes on what the problem is. I agree with the statement, this has to stop. But what has to stop is not necessarily the practical thing, the results, it's the results of sin. If you get the sin stopping, then the consequence, the trouble and the murders and the killings will stop. But it's sin. No one likes to see, talk about sin, amen? We love to talk about everybody else's sin. Let's not talk about our own sin. So the real danger here and the connection is our eyes get consumed with things. And then we, in our haste like David, we feel like God's not looking, but he is looking. Look at what he talks about. He makes some statements here. Look in verse 12. Imagine feeling this way. David says, I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Brokenness we'll sing about tonight. I'm like a broken vessel. Y'all, do you know all of us are broken vessels? Sin made us be broken vessels. And then Jesus Christ came. He saved us. He forgave us. He cleansed us. The Bible says he makes us white as snow. And every time we go for forgiveness, he makes us white as snow. But we're still that, as the Bible talks about, we have clay feet. And my example is always this. I think of clay feet. I think of those, you know, clay pots that my grandma's had and that my mama has. And I think just recently I was cleaning up at my mama's some, and I got a stack of them. I'm trying to move, and what happened? I broke some of them. They just break so easily, and that's what our feet are, and that's how we are. We become broken. Amen? So why our country is broken is because of sin, and that's why David said, I'm a broken vessel. He said in verse 13, I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me that they devised to take away my life. Y'all, that's a reality. And we need to understand, and as terrible as it is, the plotting and the planning that have killed the officers in Dallas and Baton Rouge and the different things we see. Y'all, we need to be reminded of something. When you look on the news, and you see people in other countries, you see like in Turkey, the revolt, the military had tried to do a coup, and you see all, you know, we look at that from a distance, don't we, Sandy? And we look at those people, we look at their countries, we look at the terrorists, and we look at the different leaders, and we look at what goes on in the streets, and we look at all of that. Can I remind you something? When the Bible speaks and David said that fear was on every side, y'all, those are people. Those are all people. Now, they grew up in different places with different customs. Their skin will be varying different colors. And I'm looking around here, and all of y'all's skin is varying different colors. Amen? They all have different beliefs and backgrounds and everything. But they are all people. They are all people created by God, created in his image. And they're all people that are sinners. So I'm going to tell you what is going on in our world by people has the capability of that same way thing finding its way here and happening. It's all people. We look at things at a distance. When David says fear on every side, we look at fear, we isolate it. But y'all, it's everywhere. But here's the thing. Here's what Satan wants you to do. Fear terrorists. Fear rights. And I fear all the things happening, all the world. All that comes here. Or war happens. And this Satan with his demons, they gather in hell and they laugh at us because the real fear that surrounds us, the real fear that we should have, as I read recently devotionally, if you take all the verses in the Bible about fear and you come up and understand with the Bible that says fear God, a true and biblical and clear in your heart fear of God will take care of every other fear. Every other fear. But there's fears that we can have on every side, and the fear should be more so our own sin, our own temptations, all that's going on personally around us. I promise you, somebody tonight, they're struggling with someone in their family that's addicted to drugs, or they've become an alcoholic, or there's some they're making bad choices, they've ended up in jail, all these things, or they're in the hospital with a child battling cancer, or they're battling cancer herself. A lot of the news, man, just kind of, they might hear it, but what's it do, Marty? It's not what their eyes are consumed with. And so in effect, what God is calling from Scripture is that we would get our eyes consumed with Him and what He wants and what He's doing and what's going on. So then look me very close there in Psalm 33. So we go from the problem with David's eyes and our eyes getting consumed with the wrong thing and not thinking God's eyes are on us. Look at Psalm 33 and verse 12. And there's this little section here is highlighted, marked up in my Bible. I mean, from probably 31 down through 37. I mean, but look at Psalm 33, verse 12. Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Verse 13, "The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men." What a word. God, the Lord is looking. He's looking there from heaven. He's beholding everything that's going on. And so that helps me as a father. And so it's not that the pressure's all not on me to help my children, to help lead and navigate them through what's happening in the world, to take their misplaced fears and put them up, but to realize, hey, God knows what's going on. God is looking. God is looking. God cares. His hand hasn't been shortened. Isn't it amazing when I begin to study and try to connect where eyes are and being reminded that God's eyes are still on us, we have a verse like verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There are still a remnant in people in our, if you would, nation who God is their Lord. But I don't know that you can say that our nation is a nation that calls Him Lord. Amen? I don't know that you can do that, not when you have leaders and not when you have all the things going on. It's just absolutely insane, the things that happen in our world. The people whom He have chosen for His own inheritance. And I'd read some of those verses in Romans 8 and leading up what we looked at today, and it meets the predestination. And sometimes I bring up a whole issue, you know, and it's people that really believe. They believe that, you know, God predestined some people to go to heaven, and He predestined some people to go to hell. And you can't back that up with the Bible as a whole and scripturally, no way, shape, or form. I mean, I'm sorry, it's just crazy. You know, yeah, His predestination plan was that everyone be saved. Doesn't mean everybody be saved. No, but that was His plan. Who's chosen? Anybody that will give their heart to Him. It's very simple. So don't ever complicate that in your thinking, your biblical theology, because once again, I understand from Scripture, if you're wanting to find something that appeals to what somebody else that you like says or what you kind of like to say, because I'm going to tell you what thing, and I'll stand on it all. In predestination, I've never met anybody that believed that doctrine that didn't think they was going. That just don't make any sense. And the other thing is, takes all the pressure off witnessing. That'd make church easy, wouldn't it? Well, bless God, God's predestined some folks to get saved, and they'll won't be able to resist the Spirit, and they'll just come in, and we'll love on them and welcome them in the kingdom, and we'll go into heaven together. As I had shared on Wednesday night, a statement about critics. We looked in, I think it was Psalm, where were we at, y'all? Psalm 34, and it's a passage in the Bible where critics will point out and say there's an error in the Bible. But as I studied, it said that what a critic does is they just look at what they want to look at. So you and I don't have that luxury. We have to look at all the Word. That's why I can't stand up here and be like a prosperity gospel preacher and preach to you that if you'll just give and God will bless you 100-fold and just all that. You got to preach all the Word. And so that's the sin, that's the trouble. And I want to encourage you. I've been greatly encouraged like never before by simply trying to do some things I preached to y'all. I want to encourage y'all. I had Wednesday night. It was just a blessing to sit down and talk to Tony as he followed through with God this morning. And then I'm going to tell you what. I simply on Friday at lunchtime sat down with a friend. And this was very hard, but I was talking to that friend. And there's some things going on in their life. And I simply said this. I said, I'm concerned. I said, I'm just worried about what this is going to do. And they immediately, Jeff, began to give me the explanation of why they were doing it. And I just very politely said, please, please, I understand. You've told me that. I'm just going to tell you as a friend and a pastor, I'm just worried. And then this morning, men that were in the prayer room, was that awesome this morning? Lexan often comes to the prayer room, pray for him and his family. They had gone to the mountains after church today, but Lexan in the prayer room, and sometimes he'll lead in prayer. You know what Lexan prayed? He prayed to God that he'd been convicted about playing ball on Sunday and about not doing that anymore. I'm telling y'all, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. So we need to remember and to hear, listen, be in love. I'll go as far as saying this. If you never really be in love with the Word of God, and don't be looking at me that way. I'm honest. If you've never really been in love with it, or if you used to be in love with it more, fall in love with His Word. Because I'm telling you, I don't know what I would do having to listen to the news, practically hearing about the sin of the whole church, dealing with my own sin and my family. I couldn't make it without the Word of God when all of a sudden, you know, David, in every passage, including like this morning, almost every passage, if you'll just read long enough, there's problem, there's sin, there's troubles, there's fear, there's persecution, there's despair. But you read on just a little bit further, and all of a sudden it's like the bright light shines down, and there's a word from God, and it's encouragement. Y'all, these are the greatest days we've ever lived. We're going home one day soon. We get to serve Him, and He loves us. He never leaves us, and we're going to heaven one day. And these white clouds and blue sky and these flowers will pale in comparison. And that's the way, that's the excitement. And I couldn't imagine. Can you imagine being without the Word of God? Can imagine. And usually when somebody's without the Word of God, they're without Jesus Christ. Amen? So the Lord is looking down from heaven. He said, look in verse 14, from the place of His habitation, He looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And then as God's looking, the Bible is explaining that it's us trying to say about different countries and things that are going on. It's all people. He fashioned their hearts alike. God created everybody's heart alike, and the heart and the space in our soul to receive Jesus. Everybody. The Bible even says, I think it's over in Peter, 1 Peter, you know, don't think of the strange, the fiery trials that try you. So please, please join me. Don't, and I know how easy it is, and I did the craziest thing. I walked in somewhere the other week, and I just said the wrong thing. I made a joke, and look, for no reason, y'all know no reason at all, I walked in, and I said, hey, man, can I just hide out here for a while? And the guy said, sure. I said, but I bet if people call looking for me, you'll tell them I'm here. He said, no, you can hide out here. You know, the problem was, Chris, it was a great day. And there was no reason for me to say that. And I realized that I was saying it to some folks who just don't walk close to the Lord, Jim. And I left there going, how stupid was that? Why did I say that? You know, the Bible speaks in Proverbs. In fact, I believe today, and let's just flip over to Proverbs 17 so you can get a verse for the pastor's stupidity. Proverbs 17, verse 27, the Bible says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So when I had opportunity to share some thing spiritually, I'm just cutting up like we do all the time. So, preacher, what's so bad about that? Well, I tell you what's bad about it for me is the Holy Spirit convicted me when I got it back in my Jeep right down the road. I'm like, why did I say that? Because what they'll probably think is, I'll see you there you go. That a preacher, he wanted to hide from something. Now, there's been plenty of days I want to hide, y'all, right? But it wasn't, and so why did I do that? Because I didn't spare my words. But go back to Psalm 33. So God is talking about, in Psalm 33, verse 15, it says, he considereth all their works. Now, I'm going to tell you what I like to do. When I read in the Bible that it says God is considering all their works, that's exactly right. God is considering all your works, and God's considering everybody else's works. But what it's really meant to me is say that Jeff Smith, God is considering your works, considering what you're doing. I'd much rather think about him considering Davy's works than my works. Amen? But he's considering, so I'm thankful. Listen, he created hearts the same. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. And what's happening is, y'all listen, just remember, once again, I believe with everything in my heart, those three officers were killed. They say they've killed the suspect, and immediately, the man finds himself in hell. Immediately. The Bible speaks clearly of the rich man as he looked from hell over and began to plead that God would send people to talk to his family and talk to his friends. Literal. So that's what's happening. How would it change things? I'm riding down the road and I'm thinking today, well, you know, the whole political scene and how, you know, you'd be laughed at, you know, to try to run our country by the Bible and to pray. But how would the news be different if that's what's described? Well, we got him. We killed him. We took care of him. He's been killed, whatever. And based on the fruit of his life and based on the scripture of his life, then he found himself in hell. Let's break over to correspondent so-and-so. You know, we've set up a little, we have no pictures from hell. We have no video there. But the Bible gives us a pretty descriptive of it. So we've come up with kind of a recreation of what we believe hell would be like. And they start showing that on Fox News and CNN and Channel 9. So this person who was deceived by Satan and was Satan's hand that was doing this, here is the place. Based on Scripture, this would be exactly what they're experiencing right now. The only problem is it would be a black screen because the total darkness of hell and the fire, and it would be impossible. So, you know, it's not talked about. It's not mentioned. The Lord looketh from heaven. And verse 16 said, there is no king saved by the multitude of hosts. In Turkey, you know, the president's come out and he said, hey, we're still in control and we still got it. Well, based on Scripture, bless his heart, it wasn't him or the military. God's providential hand. It says in verse 16, a mighty man is not delivered by much strength. I'm thankful for that. As small as I am, I'm thankful that I don't have to be dependent on my strength to be delivered, to be helped in time of need. Verse 17, a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. But behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. You can use that verse this week. Why would a loving God let anyone be murdered, whether it's a terrorist attack or police being shot? Why? Because listen, God's focus is souls. And all he promises in his word is that he will deliver our souls from death. It doesn't say our physical body. It says our souls from death. The Bible speaks of a second death when you don't know Jesus Christ, and which is true death. But God is concerned us with souls. Amen? God welcomes. The Bible says the day of our death is better than the day of our birth. So that's the explanation. A loving God. And y'all, I shudder to think, as I mentioned before, you know, as much as we want to honor these police and whatever, my heart aches. Because my question is, did those men know Jesus? Because if those men did not know Jesus, they are in hell with the very one who killed them. See, that's the conversation. That in the harshness and the truth of that conversation is really how God helps us understand what's going on. The Bible says to lean not on our understanding. This is God's understanding. His desire is for souls. He is about delivering our souls. He never promises he'll protect us just because we're saved. And it says in verse 19, and to keep them alive in a famine. And I'll close with this in Amos. Go with me to Amos 8:11. I've been thinking of this verse in Amos a lot lately. But I had never taken time to go to the verse. Amos 8:11. So remember in Psalm 33, God is talking about delivering from the famine. Remember how we saw this morning with Paul and so much in Romans, it weren't the nakedness. It didn't mean like no clothes, but it meant the vulnerability. And that's the same way when God, God says he will deliver us from famine, I believe this is the very famine we all find ourselves in where we live. And I'm so thankful there's a promise that he wants to deliver us. Look in Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And I'll just stop there, but look in verse 11 where he says, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I think that's the famine I'm not going to say it's the famine he is talking of here, but a similar famine, I think, as we found in our world. And it simply is that people do not want to hear the word of God. And I'll be the first to say that I and all of us have days and weeks like that. Just a famine for the word of God. Maybe not intentionally, busy week, whatever. But he promises there in Psalm 33 that he is the God who will deliver us from that famine. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. Would you bow with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, it's the reason God brought you here. I don't know how you're dealing with your own trouble, the troubles you're hearing in our world, what fears, what's happening. But I'm telling you, there's a promise, there's an excitement. The Lord says in his word that he understands. He's still in control. And he gives us a very simple purpose. And that purpose is to follow him, be fishers of men, to seek him, to share him, to serve him. And Lord, I pray that we not get our eyes consumed with anything, good or bad, but our eyes would be consumed with you. So maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to confess my eyes have been consumed with, fill in the blank, some activity, work, church, a person, a problem, something great, something good, something bad. And say, God, my eyes have become consumed. Lord, focus my eyes to that upward look spiritually and realize that you're looking down and that you promise so much. And let my eyes be consumed with your word, your mission for our life, and that we're going home one day. Lord, thank you. Lord, help us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
488.